Radio and Sparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO. Randolph County Radio.
Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning, 9:26. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. Hope you're having a good morning. Talking today with Congressman Mike Bost, who's joining us. How are you doing?
I'm great, Jeff. I'm really doing well. How about you?
I can't complain. It doesn't do any good anyway, right, as I say.
Right. That's true.
So we were just talking about the weather. You said you're back in the district, and I mentioned the heat, but you say it's not a whole lot different out in Washington either.
No, they have the same thing as far as the humidity because of the Potomac River. Whatever weather we get here, about 18 hours later, they get it there, and that's pretty well the case all the time. It's humid in the summer. It's got the same temperature ranges in the winter. For the most part, about the same amount of snowfall or anything like that, and same amount of rainfall, and both of us been hit pretty heavy this year. But, hey, speaking of that, I want to let your viewers know, or listeners know, that we are, you know, in the process of, as now as the river's starting to recede some, finally, okay, we're working very, very diligently with the Army Corps of Engineers to do several things. One, working with our local FEMA and IEMA people, the governor declared the state disaster. Therefore, we're trying to calculate those numbers that give us the opportunity to reimburse our local governments and other places where and individuals who have had losses because we're declared when it's declared a national emergency. We're going to meet that level along the our district area and the state of Illinois, specifically because we were able a couple years ago, we changed the minimum threshold from about $26 million to $19 million, and we're going to break that $19 million. Now, there's individual county calculations that have to be done in that, too, but we're working with our local county officials, local emergency management personnel, to put those numbers together of what exactly the cost of this flood was to the state of Illinois and to our individual counties, communities, as well as our levee and flood control districts. While we're compacting those numbers right now so that we can reach that level and then get the federal aid in and involved. That being said, we're also working, and I know it doesn't affect, I don't know that your listeners reach down that far, but the Alexander County Lynn Small levee, there's some very unique things we've been dealing with on that, specifically out of the department or out of the Transportation Infrastructure Committee. I actually met with J.D. James. J.D. is actually from just across the river down near New Madrid is where he actually has his farm and everything like that, but he is the secretary of the Corps, the civilian part of the Corps. He and I have talked directly on trying to make sure the language gets put together to make sure we're going to try to get the Lynn Small levee for navigational purposes put back in place, which is pretty big hassle, too.
All right. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and slip our break in here, and we'll come back and talk some more with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak. You're listening to Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO, and we'll be right back. And welcome back. It is 9:35. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff, talking today with Congressman Mike Bost, who's joining us via phone this morning, and talking about the flooding, which, you know, a lot of the areas now, water going down, and some of the areas are starting to dry out.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, the interesting thing about this, and I think I may have told you, because I think I may have talked to him before, that we believe that this rain event that happened across the central part of the United States into the Mississippi floodplain, now understand that's not only us, but when it came from out west and up north, according to the Army Corps of Engineers, they have not seen that much water in that area since like 1854. And the reason why we didn't reach 93 flood area levels was because along that pathway, many farm levees, agriculture levees, failed along the Mississippi River, not in Mississippi, along the Illinois River and along the Missouri River and along Kaskaskia River that had not failed before. And those failing kind of reduced the pressure that was on us. You know, Alton was probably a good example of that. At one time, it was pressing close to the 93 flood level, and then upstream and on the Illinois River, there was a levee that burst and relieved a lot of the pressure, and it dropped 8 inches in a day. So, you know, these type of events, we've got to watch. We've got to now go back in, make sure that the levees are repaired and everything like that. But that's not the only thing we're doing. You know, we were unfortunately, while we're in D.C., a lot of other things we were working on, while dealing with all of that, let me tell you about a historic event that took place that wasn't exactly one of those historic events that you'd like to see. And let me give it to you in the breakdown in which it occurred, and that was earlier this week, when that House members, just so you know, and this is vitally important, this was dealing with when the speaker she brought forth to appease her farther left a resolution that basically was calling Trump a racist for the tweets that he made. And so let me explain to your listeners exactly what went down and how the rules were and why this was a historic event and actually just leads more to the problems that are existing in Washington. See, House members are expected to speak respectfully of their fellow members and of the Senate and of the president. And that has been in effect since 1801. You cannot go to their personalities. You can talk about the issues, you can talk about all that, but you cannot direct it specifically towards them. And whenever I was in the chair quite often, whenever we were in the majority, I had to tell members then, you know, your members are reminded, you cannot talk of personalities for the president. I had to do that for both with Obama and with the time that Trump was in while we were in the majority. But what happened this last week was, and so that you know this, it is not that, you know, we can disagree and we can feel that way towards them, but the reason you don't go down that is it is not because we agree with each other, but out of respect for the institution and the and those American people who elected them to those offices. Okay, so during the debate, yep.
You were in the military, too, so it's kind of like you remember. You may not always agree or like, you know, those who are in authority over you, but yet you respect their rank and their position.
And that's true. And I'll give you a very good example of that. Back whenever my son was still active in the United States Marine Corps on active duty, now he's a reservist now, there was a time whenever I was really upset with President Obama, and I was talking to him on the phone, and I was griping about something and disagreeing and very angrily disagreeing. And whenever I said, "And Stephen, don't you agree?" And he said, "Marine, what part of he's my commander-in-chief don't you remember?" See, that's exactly what we were talking about there, Jeff. So when things happened this week, though, so here's what's really wild. So on this resolution, which is 8489, the resolution itself in the title, violated those rules of the House. And so as things went on and the debate got serious, basically what happened is that the speaker then specifically said, and let me tell you what the one paragraph in the resolution It says President Donald Trump's racist comments have legitimized fear and hatred of new Americans and people of color. You see, that in itself is a violation of the rules. So, any rate, when the statement came out, and then Nancy said that she believed, she said the president was racist, then Congressman Doug Collins called her out on this and said, "Madam Speaker, you may need to revisit your words. Speaker, you know our rules. You are breaking the rules. Would you restate that or remove your words?" And the speaker declined and walked off the floor, at which point Congressman Collins then asked the parliamentarian to rule on her statement to find out if they were unparliamentary and if they should be taken down. Well, the House went into recess while the parliamentarian was ruling. Now, remember, a parliamentarian is not and cannot be partisan. They strictly rule on the merits of the situation based on House rules and House tradition. And he came back, and he actually told then the Emanuel Cleaver, who was the congressman in the chair, the Speaker pro temp at the time, the Speaker pro temp at the time, then was told that was the ruling. He got very upset. He spoke both negatively to the Democrats and to the Republicans about how he had warned them not to go down this path. And then, for something that we have never seen in the House before, ever, that we can know of, and we've searched the history out, he basically took the gavel and dropped it like the people do when they say drop the mic now, and said, I am abandoning the chair. And he dropped and walked off the podium. That never happens. So they waited, and then they brought in the Democrat majority leader, who is Steny Hoyer, who's second to Nancy Pelosi, put him in the chair about a half hour later, and then the parliamentarian told him, you must rule that she was out of order. And here's what happens. If you're ruled out of order, the following two things happen. The words that you said are taken down so they do not remain in the record of the United States House of Representatives history, okay? So that is supposed to happen if it's ruled out of order. The other thing that is supposed to happen is whoever violated the rule is then not allowed to speak on the floor for the remainder of the day in which they did it. When that ruling was done, and they said the ruling, because Steny Hoyer, who was then the acting chair, had to do exactly what the parliamentarian said, then the Democrats made a motion to not take down her words, and it went on party lines, and the words were not taken down. So now those words are in permanent record, which is a violation of House rules, but that it's like the rule doesn't exist, or they just chose to ignore the rule. So they're angry at the president. They're putting a resolution together because they don't think what he did was right, and they're violating the rules to make sure they know that what they don't. You see the problem that continues to skyrocket here. So the other thing they did was they came back with a second motion, and that motion was to reinstate her rights and say that what she did was not deserving of being removed for the day, even though it was clear violation according to the parliamentarian. The sad reality of that, Jeff, and to the listeners as well, there are a lot of things we should be working on. We should be working on the fact that we need to be securing our border. We need to be making sure that we're dealing with this humanitarian crisis that's coming across the border. We need to make sure that we're trying to deal and make the investment in our military that we need to do as we're trying to deal with China, Russia, and other Iran and other aggressive parties around this world. We need to make sure that we're working to try to move, which is vitally important to our farmers and other people who are involved with the construction and everything like that, or not construction, but creation and trade, the USMCA trade agreement to be approved, which is on the line right now, ready to be approved, and the speaker could move forward with that. But instead, we did that, 3 days ago, and then 2 days ago, because of what was done, Representative Green tried to move an impeachment resolution, which was defeated, but yet Representative Green continued to push forward. When I say it was defeated, defeated, even Democrats voted not to do that, to impeach, because there's no grounds for impeachment. So unfortunately, like I said, what we need to be working on are those issues dealing with everything from, and then instead we're dancing this. So what is, and let me tell you a statement that was made by a chief of staff from the Democrat side of the aisle. He actually made a comment, and this was the chief of staff for Cortez's chief of staff. He said there's absolutely nothing that Democrats have moved forward with that is important to the American people while they're sitting at the kitchen table. That was from the Democrat side. That's why we need to quit playing these games and actually go back to work and work on those issues that I brought up a while ago.
Exactly. Well, Congressman, we're going to take another break here, and we will come back and talk some more with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. 9:52. Got about 5.5 minutes left in the program today, and we're talking with Congressman Mike Bost and talking about some things that were going on. One thing, Congressman, I'd like to point out, a positive note here. You introduced a bill. You and I both, having been in Boy Scouts and that, are familiar with a lot of the history from the area. And the Cahokia Mounds, one of the big things in the area, you introduced a bill that would make that a national park.
That is correct. And let me tell you that we dropped that bill yesterday. It is a it does create a national park, a new national park. It is something that we have got bipartisan agreement on, because remember that though Cahokia Mound, it's the Cahokia area, but then there's also several of those outspots. Those outspots will also be included. Some of those are actually in St. Louis. The history of them and the history of Northern America before and with what was the natives of the land, as much as 2,000 years ago, well, more than that, thousands of years ago, when these mounds were built. And because of that, and because of the interest that they had already gained, working with the group that has actually been coordinating that for years, we are moving forward to try to make it a national park. And with that comes the benefit that they can work with the locals to make sure that that's maintained for our children and grandchildren. When I say it's bipartisan, it really is. Lacey Clay is on the bill with us. He's the congressman from inner city St. Louis. And remember, there's one mound left inside the city of St. Louis, even. So, you know, this is vitally important from there. I know that Senator Dick Durbin is looking into taking this up in the Senate. We are working together with their office as well, so that this national park status is vitally important for the overall long-term support and maintenance of, and also the restoration of, this historical site.
Right. I've been there a few times, and it's an amazing sight to see if you haven't had the opportunity to visit the Cahokia Mounds and all the, as you mentioned, the outlying areas as well. It's definitely worth the trip.
When you see a map of it and know how many there are, what you got to realize is there's a lot of them. And understand, this won't affect anybody's personal property too. We want to make sure that people understand that. You got to realize how many mounds. There's a lot of mounds over the years that we know they were there, but because people didn't understand them, construction and just weather habits and weather changes and things like that have leveled many of them down, so that they know on the map where they're at, but they were not kept and maintained. And so this is vitally important to make sure that the future generations can know and understand what went on there.
Another thing I noticed, you voted to repeal a tax, the Obamacare Cadillac tax. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I sure can. The Cadillac tax was, and here's the problem, and I think I've said this on your show before. Look, the idea of the ACA, our Obamacare, was not wrong. They wanted to make it affordable, portable, and deal with pre-existing conditions, but the language was very, very, very bad. Because many of the things that generated the revenues to afford it were things like, the worst thing was $750 billion was removed from Medicare, and that's the only time we've ever taken any money out of Medicare, and so that was bad. That being said, other things that funded it were what was known as the Cadillac tax. So let's say that you are a union worker or some other worker, and in lieu of pay, you've negotiated for a very good health care, premium health care, above and beyond what the ACA would provide. So let's say that you have a lesser deductible, and the your employer pays a majority of your premiums, and also with that, they pay a majority of your premium, but you get a good dental plan with it. All of these things are things that you negotiated in good faith with your contract. Well, if you had one of those quality programs like that, what this Cadillac tax did, and referred to it as a Cadillac tax, is that's what the ACA, when it was written, referred to it as, and that's because they feel you were getting a premium deal, and they're going to tax you at a very, very high level. So now not only did you negotiate that in lieu of a pay raise, now all of a sudden your pay is going to be taken away from you in taxation to pay for your health plan, which you had negotiated for. Now, both Republicans and Democrats alike voted to get rid of this because we as Republicans had put it on hold and did not implement it when it was supposed to be implemented a couple of years ago, and because we saw the problem with it. The Democrats saw a problem with it too, but they were afraid of, you know, the repercussions that they would be stepping against Obamacare and everything like that. But now they did come to that realization and agreed with us, which I think they were agreeing with us anyway, that's not the way we want to fund health care, is by throwing other workers under the bus who have got good health care plans. So that's what we repealed the other day. It's going to the Senate. I do believe it'll be repealed over there. I think they voted on that before. So, you know, so that then those that have those premium health care plans can keep them.
Right. We're just about out of time, but obviously, you know, during this time of the year, you have some time to get around and speak with your constituents in the area. And I'm sure anyone has any questions or any concerns, they can contact your office.
They can contact our office in O'Fallon. They can contact our office in Carbondale. They can contact our office in D.C., we're there. If you have issues with whether it's everything, any issue dealing with our federal government, we're there to help, and we want to help. I also want to warn everyone: be careful. Even young people are having heat stroke right now with the weather the way it's doing. So be careful out there. Keep hydrated and stay out of the heat as much as possible.
All right, Congressman. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Yep, thank you. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk to you next month.
All right. Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak this morning. That'll wrap things up. For The People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again on Monday.